So now, what I'd like you to do is find two or three other people, get in a little circle, and I'd like you to pray for the things that are in the bulletin. I'd like you to pray for the people being baptised tonight. Pray for our missionaries, particularly Heaven and Jeanette and their family. And have a look at the other things there that need prayer. But more importantly, in some ways, I'd like you to pray for each other, that God gives you the strength and the wisdom to face the temptations and trials that are going to face you this week. Because temptations and trials come not when we're bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, when we're rested and happy and just been singing. They come when we're tired and grumpy and hungry and don't expect them. So pray for each other, pray for strength, because we're all messed up human beings and we need that strength. We need to actually take advantage of that amazing inheritance that God's given us in Jesus. So find a group, find two or three other people and pray together. Okay, 30-second warning. Okay, let's close. Father God, please hear our prayers. Oh, is the microphone on? Father God, please hear our prayers. Thank you. Thank you for your extraordinary love. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you that you accept us the way we are. But thank you even more that you don't leave us the way we are, that you change us from the inside out. Father, keep changing us. You've got a long way to go. Keep making us into the people you want us to be. And we pray particularly for the people being baptized tonight, that that outward sign will be the sign of an inward change where you're remaking them into the people you want them to be. Give them strength and courage. We pray for their friends who are coming, that they will hear your word from their testimonies, and that they too will learn to know you and to follow you. Amen.
The Bible reading for today comes from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 5. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in all in the last time.
Okay. All right, all sorted. How about I just pray quickly and then we could get into the sermon. So, yeah, Lord, we just thank you for today. Thank you again just for opportunity to gather together to praise and worship you, to hear from your word. During this time, Lord, I just pray that you can speak to us. Speak through me, speak through your word. Speak directly into our hearts, Lord. I pray that we can be open and receptive to what you have to say today, and that we can just continue to draw closer and closer to you. And all these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so you're going to hear the word hope a lot today. So I've been thinking about that a lot in this past week. And as it turns out, I find hope a bit of a difficult concept to explain. I don't know, have you ever tried to define hope to someone before? It seems like it's something that we tend to just pick up like naturally or intuitively, gain an intuitive sense of what it means. So like all the time we'll say things like, oh, you know, I really hope I pass this exam, or I really hope gas prices go down. Kind of like putting to words that feeling, I found it kind of difficult myself. I experienced this firsthand just the other week. I don't know if you guys have ever seen this book before. It's a children's book. Jetty has this one. It's called Hope, and as you can imagine, it's about hope. So the basic story is one day, there's this little boy and his dog, and they love each other, and the dog gets sick and has to go to the vet. And the little boy, he's very sad, and his dad comes along and tries to explain what it means to have hope. So his dad says something to the extent of, like, hope is keeping a little light on, however dark things seem. It's like holding on to this, like, little light, even though circumstances seem dark. Now, that's a pretty good illustration, I think. If you already have a sense of what hope means, you know, like, oh, I'm gonna remain hopeful even though things seem dark. But when I was trying to explain this to Jetty, it didn't seem all that descriptive to someone who doesn't already know what hope means necessarily, and especially if they're just like 2 years old, right? So it's a little complex. So while I'm reading, I'm trying to add all these extra sentences into the narration, like, oh, Jetty, you know, the little boy, he like really wants his doggy to get better, and he believes that he really could get better, even though he looks really sick right now. So I don't know if that helps, especially, you know, for a two-year-old, but, you know, I tried to kind of elaborate a little more on this concept. So that was my feeble attempt. So as I was preparing for this sermon, I like looked in the dictionary for a definition of hope. So the Oxford Dictionary says something like a feeling of expectation and desire for a particular thing to happen, which I think is like technically true. It's not like a bad definition per se, but I do feel like it's missing something about like the character or nature of that feeling of hope. Like it seems like it can kind of apply to a lot of words we use that are kind of similar, like a want or a wish or desire or optimism, something like that. So I tried to dig a little bit deeper. I found this video from the Bible Project, if you guys have seen them on YouTube or elsewhere. And they have a video about hope, and then they focus on like the biblical languages, and they draw up one of the Hebrew words for hope from the Old Testament, so that's kavah. And they say that it's also related to the Jewish word for like cord or rope or line, something like that. So they're talking about that there's this sense of being like tied or bound to your hope, right? And being in tension with that hope and desire. And I think that kind of draws out a little bit more of like the character or nature of that feeling. Like when we really hope for something, there's kind of a tension there. Like, oh, I really want this to happen. I feel like it's kind of out of my control, but I'm trying to like will it into existence in some way. There's a sense of being active in your desire, as though you're like trying to pull this possible reality into existence. So I looked a little bit more. I found this interesting graph, kind of comparing different words that are kind of related to hope and sort of where they fall on this grid. So the your y-axis, that's your like perceived control over the situation. So like to what extent do you believe that you can control the outcome? So you got positive and negative, I guess. And then x-axis, you got how likely do you feel like this is going to happen? And if you notice, so the more likely it seems and the more in control you feel like you are, that's more like optimism, right? So like, oh, I'm pretty optimistic that I'll pass this class because like I got pretty good grades on my other assessments and things like that. So yeah, like things will be fine. She'll be all right, you know, that kind of idea. And then joy, you're like very much in control and it seems very likely. But then you have hope kind of at the bottom, right? Where it's pretty much out of your hands. You don't feel like you're in control at all. And you also don't think it's, you're kind of like neutral on how likely it is. Maybe it could, maybe it couldn't, right? So when odds look like slim that things will work out the way you want them to, you're kind of like active in pushing away feelings of despair, right? Hope is kind of this active, willful choice to hold out for the possibility that things will go the way you want. As opposed to things like optimism, where that pressure of despair feels like pretty low, right? A good outcome seems likely, and you don't need to be as active and persistent in your hope that things will turn out the way you want them to. So I want to do a little exercise with you guys. I'm going to give you just a couple minutes on your own, if you have a pen or something to write on your bulletin. If not, just think it out. But yeah, what are a few things that you hope for at the moment? You know, things that you hope to happen in the next few days or the next few weeks or years or just in general. Like, what are three things that you hope for? I'm not going to ask you guys to share anything like that, but yeah, just to kind of get you guys in the mindset. So yeah, I'll gather you guys together in just a couple minutes. So. Okay, that wasn't like a ton of time, but hopefully a few things came to mind. When I was doing that myself, you know, some of the things that came to mind were like, oh, I hope my citizenship application comes through pretty soon, or like, I hope Shirley and I can get back to Japan pretty soon, like those kinds of things. Just out of curiosity, did anyone think like, oh, I really hope Jesus comes back soon? Did anyone have that in their list? It's kind of an interesting thing, right? Like, you know, usually when I'm in that place of like, oh man, I really hope Jesus comes back soon, I'm kind of in a dark spot, right? It's a bit of a grim feeling where like, I feel really bad and like, I just want Jesus to come and like take away all my problems and wipe things clean. Almost like an escapist or something like that. Like, I'm not willing to like deal with my problems and I just wish Jesus could hit the reset button. But should it be like that, you know? On the flip side, there have been times where I've thought things like, oh, Jesus, like, I hope you don't come back, like, right now because I really want this, like, good thing to happen, you know? When I was younger, like, oh, Jesus, don't come back until I can get married, or, like, don't come back until I have kids, or, you know, something like that. And if you really think about it, and what we should really believe as Christians, like, that's kind of a silly thing to think. Right? Like, there shouldn't be anything better that we could possibly experience than the full coming of the kingdom of heaven, right? It shouldn't be something that we only look forward to in the worst of times. And yeah, like, even in the best of times, you know, there's nothing that could possibly be better than the full coming of the kingdom of heaven. I guess it's not necessarily the best of times for unbelievers, but the Bible is quite clear that it will be the best of times for believers, right? So as we begin the season of Advent today, which is this Sunday, so welcome to Advent. The purpose of it is a hopeful looking ahead to this day. That's one of the main purposes of Advent. Yeah, historically what this time has been for the church, it's not only a remembrance and appreciation of like the Christmas story, so Jesus' first coming as a human. Advent, you know, meaning coming or arrival, it looks actually at three aspects of Jesus' arrival into the world. So yes, the incarnation of Jesus at Christmas, but also Jesus like coming into our hearts as believers, and then looking forward in this time of hope, looking ahead to the second coming of Jesus, where he'll return to us, you know, the same way that he left, right, when he ascended into heaven. So coming to 1 Peter, these are certainly some of the things that Peter had in mind when he was writing to the Gentile Christians of Asia Minor. So if you're, that's a little hard to see. If you're curious about where Asia Minor is, it's kind of modern day Turkey. This works. Okay, so here you have Jerusalem, right? And then you go up this way, and then this area is Asia Minor up here. So that's where these Christians are. It was probably written around 67 AD is where people tend to put it. And it's when Peter was very likely in Rome. So he's in Rome writing this to Christians in Asia Minor. And it was primarily meant to be an encouragement to these new Christians as they came against like resistance and persecution for their new beliefs. So if you are a new Christian in this time and place, you know, you're pretty far away from the epicenter of Christianity in Jerusalem, you know, both like physically distant, but then also culturally distant, you're not being Jewish yourself. And then now you're experiencing persecution for your faith. It's understandable that you might feel discouraged and hopeless in these circumstances. You know, when the present looks so bleak, you know, how good of a future can really come out of this terrible present? And even if a good future could come, what possible future would be good enough to be worth enduring these present hardships for? Is it really going to be worth holding on to your faith for that? Maybe this is how you feel as a Christian now. You know, are we similarly distant from the epicenter of Christianity, you know, in time and in culture? You know, are we really part of this story from over 2,000 years ago? You know, the world is so different now. Is it still applicable to me? And with that, you know, the world can seem like such a bleak and terrible place. You know, there's pandemics that we just lived through. There's talk of like echo chambers and what is truth. And, you know, there's war happening all over the world, you know, pollution and climate disaster, you know, where even the good things that we have, they feel like we've only bought them on credit and the bill is coming due all too soon, right? Why try to hold out for a better future? You know, why not just slip into like nihilism where like nothing matters, or hedonism where all you think about is getting momentary pleasure? You know, why not try and eke out what little enjoyment you can while you can?